Every time I go, the bathroom's taller.
Really? Now, I'll repeat again. The idea of this interview is to merely formulate at least an impression of Saginaw Valley. It's to get an opinion from the area's senior citizens about the Saginaw Valley and to at least somehow come up with an informal history of what the Saginaw Valley actually is by approaching the citizens themselves, finding out what they themselves have done throughout their lives. Say, for instance, where did you begin in Saginaw Valley? Did you grow up in Saginaw?
Bay City.
In Bay City? What brought you here? What did you do here in Bay City? Where did your parents come from? Your parents, are they from Bay City also?
No, they came over here from, right on the border of Germany and Poland.
Oh, really?
I think it's Posen.
Uh-huh.
They can speak both German and Polish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here learn English, too.
I see.
And my granddad and grandmother, her granddad was born in Hamburg, Germany.
Really?
And he and his wife, that's my grandma, came over here with my dad and I think three other children. And after they were here, they lived in the South End in Bay City, down on Michigan Avenue near, I think, 38th Street. He was a carpenter. And,
is that why he came to the Saginaw Valley, to work as a carpenter? Is that why?
Carpenter, a very good one, yes. He used to build houses. Times there he used to tell, I was told that he had one of these here push carts.
Mm-hmm.
That he made it himself out of, buggies, you know, the horses pull.
Oh, yeah.
The front wheels. And they had a box on it and carried his tools there, and he'd push it along on the sidewalks.
Uh-huh.
Those days I still remember that there was even wooden sidewalks. Planks there about that wide, about that thick.
That would be about 6 inches wide?
6 inches wide.
And about 2 inches thick?
Is that just about.
Just about 2 inches.
And then when they were put together across on, maybe some beams about that's wide and that high.
That would be what, a foot square the beams would be? Or
yes, I believe it would be.
Approximately a foot.
And at times there, you know, you could look down and see in between them.
Oh, really?
Sometimes people would lose money, see?
Uh-huh. See those cracks.
We'd go down there and we'd try to get it out some way with probably wires or sticks. Oh, even we dig underneath.
Is that what you did when you were a kid then, for fun?
What's that?
When you were a kid for fun, you'd try to do that? Or for fun, when you were a child, you would go out and try to get the money out from under these rocks then?
Beg pardon?
You would try to get the money out from the sidewalks then, when you were a child?
Yeah.
You'd play?
Oh, when I was about 10, 12 years old or so, before I was about 12 years old, and we had to go work and do different odd jobs, you know, and earn a nickel or a dime.
Mm-hmm. What is one of the first jobs you remember, sir?
Piling slab wood that people used to put in their stoves to cook with and keep warm. And they'd get a dump cart load of them from Bossfield Manufacturing Company. That was a place where they made pail. This is called a pail factory.
A pail?
Pail factory. It was on Cass Avenue and in the river. Cass Avenue Bridge was.
Mm-hmm.
A dump cart, team of horses, driver, a big box on it, put near as big as this room here, and it gets it hurled about 2 or 3 cords of wood. And they would deliver it to the people. Usually they'd buy it in about, oh, maybe July and August, or dry good.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we'd see them, the kids in the neighborhood, oh, gee, Mrs. So-and-so is getting a load of wood. Let's go over and ask her if we can pile it. Well, we'd pile it for you all day long. Or whatever it was. Sometimes I get 2 or 3. They pile it in between the sidewalk and it'll probably a little ditch. Mm-hmm. And then the street was there, mud or dirt road. And they pile it there a while till it dried, or we just pile it over the other side of the sidewalk. You know, where the, mm-hmm. the main walk is in front.
Yeah.
And then the other one went to the house, the front porch, or maybe around the side. And there was always a deal out of wood. And then they found it maybe in front of the house, between the sidewalk and in front of the house there. Whatever it was. They found it just about so high. After we got through, they'd give us a nickel for it.
Is that all? That's remarkable.
Yeah. Then we'd go home with it, give it to our parents. They'd probably use it to buy us different things with.
Mm-hmm. What you mentioned that you do odd jobs now. During this time, was money hard to come by? Was it that hard?
It was hard, yeah. In those days, most of the men who had been working at the factories, like the spill factory and the lumber mills and things like that, they would start maybe at about 40, 50, 60 cents an hour, see?
Mm-hmm.
And it would gradually go up. And we'd be there for years. They'd probably get a dollar a day. Some of the fellas there, you know, after they got through work, and they'd go into the room where they had their coats and whatever it is. He says, well, another day, another dollar. Million days, millionaire. I don't know, there was one time when I was in a barber shop just a little ways from home. I was getting a haircut, went in to get a haircut, see? Well, one of the fellas, both of the fellas, you know, they worked in the Boss Steel Pill factory, and one was waiting to get a haircut, and I was next to him. The fellow come in. He said, oh, John. He said, oh, Frank. Well, he says, did you... Did you earn your salt today? I said, yes. And he says, my pepper too.
That's pretty good. Oh. What did your father do during this time of your life?
He was in the grocery business. And when I got to be about 12 years old, then I had to help him work in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And before going to school, during noon hour, and after school hour, until about 8 o'clock at night. And then I'd have to go out and feed the horses and bed their stalls with straw and give them a drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. No. I'd give them their meal around supper time.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'd go out there. And after I got through with the horses, maybe I could go over and see one of the neighbor boys there.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd apply. We had to be home at 9. It was a curfew.
excuse me, as you became older, say, did you have a family of your own?
No.
Never did?
Never single.
Single. Been a bachelor?
I had a nervous breakdown when I was about 28 years old. Mm-hmm. And doctor put me to bed for, I'd go to bed to stay there for 6 months. My mother brought me up my meals and after I get through eating my meals, you take the dishes down and whatever does. Well, then I'm doing pretty well. The doctor told me doing pretty well. He said, except for 2 months, 2 hours every day. And he says, that's around mealtime. So about noon, I'd get up about an hour then, see. And I'd sit around and watch things that went by, like people and horses and,
mm-hmm.
and wagons and buggies and
you were mostly
automobiles there, just a few of them were.
You were mostly an observer at that time then? You spent a lot of time observing, in other words. You spent a lot of time observing things then,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
I see. What are some of the most remarkable things that you remember about Bay City in particular? What do you remember most about Bay City? Was there any real historic event that you recall? Or anything in that order?
I can't think of anything right now.
Bay City sort of drug out, I know. I guess that proves Bay City's never changed.
What's that?
I guess that proves Bay City has never changed.
It changes a little.
It does. How do you think Bay City has changed then? What do you notice most about it that has changed?
Well, it has more factories, more parks.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful city. That's the reputation it had, the city, the beautiful city, and it has a lot of beautiful trees.
Yeah.
I never noticed that till one day a nephew of mine came in from Detroit and to see a buddy that was over in over in a thumb there, I can't
Cat City?
Can't think of the name of the city right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's Port Austin.
Port Austin.
Yeah. He was from Detroit. Both of them were from Detroit. He wanted to know where, and he wanted to see another man. That was lived about 3 or 4 blocks north of me, see?
Mm-hmm.
So I told him he'll go north. I said, so-and-so. He told me the number. And I says, you look either one way or the other, see? I says, I don't know exactly. I says, the number starts from the river and go east.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, I says, how do you like Bay City? He says, it's a beautiful town. It's got a lot of beautiful trees. Well, I says, hasn't Detroit got any? He says, no. And I happen to think, you know, that when I visited my brother, married brother and his wife and the children, that I didn't see any trees. And he told me, he says, well, where they start is after, well, I guess I think it was Royal Oak or something like that, or mm-hmm. Birmingham, someplace in there, one of the smaller towns.
That's great. What did you do, excuse me, throughout most of your life, what did you do? What was your vocation?
Banking.
You were in banking?
I worked in branch banks in a main office in Bay City. First it was a Bay County Savings Bank, and then when Depression was on, they closed the bank. After they closed them, then I worked part-time for 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks of the month, and the other fella that was working at the branch office, he worked the last two. And then after we did that for about 4 years or so, they transferred to the main office. Well, at the branch office, I was a teller and assistant manager. And I got to the main office, I said in Washington, they put me in the collection department. I was a collection teller. And then there for about 4 or 5 years, Second World War broke out. Oh. And what it did, it transferred me over to the Salzburg branch of the National Bank of Bay City, where I worked for about 4 years. Well, then when the boys, and then the businesses were, it was hard, you know, to get help right. And do business, see? So they closed two of the branches. One of them was the Salzburg branch where I was working. They transferred me over to the West Side office on Midland Street. Mm-hmm. I worked there as a teller for about a year and a half or so. And when the bank, when the war was, World War II was over, then I got laid off because the cashier at the main office told me that they had to make room for some of the employees that were coming back from the war, see? Mm-hmm. And I had been with them almost 30 years.
And they laid you off then?
They laid me off. And after I was laid off, well, I was, didn't feel so very good either. So I thought I'd kind of rest up a little bit. And I had some money, I think, in bonds. So I says, well, Liberty bonds.
Yeah.
I kept cashing those and I kept fixing up my house. And I did that, I guess, for about 6 months. Well, then I started looking for a job, and I got a job working for DeFoe Shipbuilding Company. Mm-hmm. And I worked there about a year, in the OSC office for about a year and a half. Well, after two of the boats, destroyers were built, I was laid off. Well, they, a short time after that, they got an order for two destroyers for the Australian Navy. And I went back there and I worked part-time then.
I think.
On Thursday nights, Saturday nights, and Sunday nights as a watchman or a security guard. Mm-hmm. And at that time I was getting my Social Security. Mm-hmm. And they found out that I was getting too much
money.
I was laid off then. Well, after I was laid off then, I was getting Social Security, and I was looking for a part-time job too. So I got working for Zeter Motor Sales before I started working at DeFoe Shipbuilding Company. I worked there for about 9 years.
I see.
The Forest Department is a bookkeeper.
Oh.
And after I was laid off, I got different jobs there, working in some of the parts stores in Bay City.
Oh.
When they were taking inventory.
Now, you mentioned that you had some money in stocks or bonds, and you said that you spent it to remodel your home. Now, Bay City has some very historic homes, and just for the record, could you tell me where you lived and something about your home?
What did you say about?
Well, could you just tell us something about your home? Bay City is noted for having historic homes, and I was just wondering if you could tell us maybe a little about your own house, what you did to it, and what it was like just living there.
Well, I had to have a new roof put on it. Different rooms there, wallpaper on it. I removed it.
Mm-hmm.
Sandpapered it good, and then painted it. And brother, the plasterer, he plastered it up good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then he also built an archway in between the living room and the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
About that far apart, we could put the telephone in on the right side of it. And had a chair there, too, you see, where we could sit down and answer the telephone and write little notes. And,
Where did you live, though?
Over on Fraser Street, between 24th and 25th Street. About a block and a half north of the Coleman Electric Company, on the east side of the street. The house is, the outside of the house is stucco.
Right. Do you remember any of the big names in Bay City at that time? Do you remember, say, like the people who have been noted in Bay City for having a lot of money or who have been in politics? Have you ever known anyone like that?
Yes. I'm going to tell you, too, that when I was about 18 years old, I worked at the leading grocery store that sold the highest class groceries to the wealthy people who lived on Center Avenue and 5th Street and 6th Street and McKinley Avenue. And worked there, I guess, about 2.5 years. With my oldest brother. And there's one man by the name of Bossfield at the pail factory. And there was Hanson and Ward's that had the veneer works. Hanson, Mr. Hanson, Mr. Ward.
Right.
And there's W.L. Clements. He was a president of of the bank, and he also donated some money or helped build the University of Michigan.
Oh.
At Ann Arbor, I think. Mm-hmm. And then there was a Kelton Oran Company. They had a box factory, I think. Kelton's. And there's C.R. Wells, another wealthy man. I forget what he did. Factory. They called it the Bay City Dredge Works. the first building that was on the end of Center Avenue, right near a chicory factory. And we owe baseball diamonds.
Oh.
Old Southern Michigan Baseball League. After they had played ball there for a number of years, they changed the name to Michigan and Ontario League. Well, there were two teams from Ontario,
mm-hmm.
but, and the others were from Southern Michigan, Lansing, Flint, and Bay City.
About what year is this? Do you remember? Just estimate as close as you can. You don't have to be accurate.
I imagine it was sometime between the years of 1916 and 1930.
I see. That's good.
Both leagues.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever actively participating in this type of activity? Were you ever involved in this league, or
in what?
Were you ever involved in the management, or in the somehow
no,
connected
I
with that?
I used to play sandlot baseball in Bay City, in different places, you
yes.
know, on Sundays. We had a team there, and we played different teams in Bay City on different school ground athletic fields. See,
yeah.
Sometimes it's football, sometimes it's baseball, sometimes it's softball. And I played baseball, basketball, a little football when I went to school. I played tennis. I did a lot of hunting and fishing, different places up north.
That's
small game hunting,